Well, this morning, as we begin, I really kind of wanted, I wanted to show you a clip, and I don't know if you guys have seen the TV series called The X Factor. So this is going to be a clip from The X Factor.
Yeah.
All right, off you go. Awesome, isn't it? How many of you ever watched that program? You know, that program, The X Factor, what it does, it finds talent among just average people, and then they make them superstars, right? The little girl from England, as she starts, you know, everything is riding on that performance. But did you notice as she started that little dance, he was about ready to cut her off? Because he knew that wasn't the talent they were looking for. So he was going to stop her. But something shocking happened, right? What happened? She went from dancing to singing. And so when she started singing, the whole place went crazy. The people began to recognize her talent. But I do want to say to you, I mean, how shocking that is. It is a shock. It took a halt to what she was doing, and then she had to change direction, yes? And then she had to do something different. But I love the crowd. Did you see how the audience got shocked at first? But then, when they began to hear her sing, they all got excited. And this is really what I want to talk about to you today about, because really, this is what Jesus Christ does. It's really what he's doing today, and we are going to be looking at the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus is getting ready to deliver his first, and it's also his longest sermon of his life. I often wonder, what would he say for his first sermon? That's a great question to ask, but I want you to notice that his he has his closest disciples with him, and then the masses are actually sitting down the mountainside. They expect Jesus to teach them as a rabbi might, but how many of you know he's no ordinary rabbi? Amen. And so I'm sure they were all thinking, oh, wow, this is going to be a wonderful sermon. You know, it's all about happiness, but we're already happy. We go to church, we go to synagogue, we know the law, we go to our temple, we visit Jerusalem, we get this Jesus. But how many of you know that's not going to be true? He is actually going to completely put them in shock. And I really want you to get ready for that today yourself. Because sometimes when we read the Bible, or many times when we read the Bible, we hear things that we do not expect to hear. And this first sermon of Jesus was totally going to blow them away. And so today, and in the weeks ahead, I want you to get ready to be shocked, because we know that Jesus is no regular rabbi, and everything he's going to tell them is totally countercultural. And so today I really want to lay a foundation. I want to talk about the backdrop of the Sermon on the Mount. And most specifically, I want to talk with you in the weeks to come about the Beatitudes. So let's open up our Bibles, and let's open up to the beginning of this sermon, Matthew chapter 5, and we will be reading verses 1 through 3. I want to remind you that at this point, Jesus has already chosen the 12 disciples, but he's not yet begun to teach them. He's called them, he's chosen them, but they have not heard his teaching. This is the first they are going to hear from Jesus, the Son of God, who has come down from heaven. And they can never be quite prepared for what he is going to say. And so before we delve into each of these Beatitudes, we need to lay a foundation. He begins his Beatitudes with one word. And the word is what? Blessing. And so we know his sermon title. His sermon title is what? Blessing. So let's read Matthew 5, this first sermon, this long sermon that Jesus gave. And let us begin looking at verses 1 through 3. Y'all have that? You're all there? Good. Matthew chapter 5, and we'll be reading verses 1 through 3. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he's going to go where? He's going to go up to the mountainside, and he's going to sit down. But think about this scene now. They're all there, but the disciples came to him, right? And as the disciples came to him, he began to what? Teach them. And then as he begins, in verse 3, as he's teaching them, he says what? Blessed are the poor in spirit. For what? Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Verse 4, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be. Blessed are you who are meek. You're going to inherit the earth. Blessed are you if you hunger and thirst for righteousness. What? You're going to be filled. Blessed are you if you are a person of mercy, for you shall be shown mercy. Blessed are you if you have a pure heart, for you're going to see God. Thank God. Blessed are you if you're a peacemaker, right? For you shall be called, what, a child of God. Blessed are you, and I love this, if you're being persecuted. Wow, thank God. If you're persecuted. If you're being persecuted, what? Yours is the kingdom of heaven. This is the word of the Lord. Amen? I want to look at this word because Jesus uses it 9 times. And the word is blessed. I always wondered, like, what would be his first sermon? His first sermon would be on a life of blessedness. And I like that, amen? I really do like that. I think he chose an appropriate topic. But in his first sermon, he starts by making these powerful, revolutionary pronouncements. As you read them, I'm sure you're in shock. You see, Jesus uses the word blessed, and the word here is markaios, and it actually means this: permanent, continual state of happiness. And it is not based on how you feel.
It is actually not based on anything outside of you. And the crowd is totally in shock. Are you? I am. I'm sure some of the people thought when they were there listening to that sermon, oh, a nice sermon on blessedness. Yes, isn't this going to be a nice day? This is going to be easy. It's really going to help me. Absolutely not. And blew them out of the water. Does it blow you out of the water? Are you blessed? Do you walk in a permanent, continual state of happiness? Do you? And it's not based on how you feel. And it's not based on anything that is outside of you. I'm sure they were in total shock. But I really want to ask the question, did you know that Christ wants you to experience a blessed life? Do you know that? Do you know it? Like, this life you're living on earth is to be a blessed life. Do you know that? And more important, are you actually living it? Because according to Jesus, it is a permanent state of happiness. It doesn't come and go. It is a continual state of happiness. That is how you'll know a believer in Jesus Christ. So I want to look at that because really, blessedness, according to Jesus, actually would, can you put up the next slide, actually would, if you're going to ask, you would have to say, well, blessed, according to Jesus, would be total happiness, correct? You are totally content. You live in a state of total bliss. You live in a state of total fulfillment. And you are totally satisfied every single day of your life. That is what Jesus Christ is talking about. That is actually why Jesus Christ came. But really what Jesus is pointing to is the source. And I really want to say that to you too. Some of you might be here today and say, Pastor, I am so far from that. I want to say to you, the source of that is who? Is God. Why? How many know God is completely content?
Amen.
God is completely blissful? How many know God is completely satisfied? God is. Why? Because that is who God is. I'm sure it would have blown the mind of Timothy when Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:1. And I believe Paul was a man who was pouring into Timothy as a man that he knew would serve God. And so he pours into him. But one of the things he pours into Timothy, he says, 1 Timothy 6:11, he says, Timothy, God the blessed. God the blessed. That's what he names him. God the blessed. And really what he's saying to Timothy is, Timothy, God has all this. Actually, God has, that's who God is. He's the source of all blessing. It's who he is. Never forget that, amen? He's the source of blessing. But not only that, but those who belong to God are to share in that blessing. Correct? Correct or not? If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, then you are to share in the nature of God. All God's people said.
Amen.
2 Peter 1:4. Peter says, states that you may be what? Partakers. And you are to be a what? A partaker of what? The divine nature. And so not only is God the source, but if we are living the Christian life, then we are partakers of that life. We are blessed because we possess the life of God by his grace
inside of us. You see, I'm sure this totally shocked them. I'm sure they were probably saying, wow, never heard anything like this in my whole life. You see, blessed is happiness that is not subject to any outside forces. Do you understand? It's not if you say I'm blessed, you are not subject to any outside forces, but only inside ones produced by God in your heart. Do you all understand that? It is produced not by you, it's produced by God. And where is it produced? In your heart. Wow. Do you know people like this? I guess they're rare. There should be more of them. I hope you're one of them. But really, blessed is an internal condition of the soul. Is it not? If you were to say, Pastor, I am blessed, you are really saying what? The very condition of my soul. Regardless of any circumstance you go through. Isn't that awesome? I'm sure this totally blew them away. Do you ever hear people say this at all? Like, have you ever gone up to somebody and know that they're in a crisis? And you say to them, how are you? And they totally blow you out of the water. Why? They look at you and say what? I am blessed. Would you do that? Or would you complain and say, oh no, I'm going through a lot of stuff. And rather than say you're blessed, you start to complain about your life. I want you to be in shock today, some of you too. Because some of us need to be in shock. Because the only way you could do that is that in the midst of everything you're experiencing, you know that you are blessed in your inner soul. And there is nothing on the outside of you that would take it away. What do you think? How many of you could say this? I am blessed. I'm blessed regardless of the circumstance I'm in. I would love to preach this to all of you so that all of you would say this, because when I hear it, I get encouraged. Nate gets into the truck. Hey, Nate, I can barely walk. I can barely get into the truck, Pastor. How are you, Nate? And Nate looks at me and says, what? Pastor, I'm blessed. Right? Could you do that? I want everybody to do it. The trouble is, I couldn't force you anyways, right? I would love for everybody in the church to do it. But, you see, you couldn't do it, even if I told you to do it. Because you didn't get the first two parts of blessedness. The first part is what? God is the source. The second part is what? You are a recipient of that. And you are in it. And you're living it. Your soul is doing well. But if you're not a recipient, you see, you couldn't do it if I forced you anyways. Correct? I could tell you to say it, but if it's not real to you, you couldn't do it anyways. And all God's people said.
Amen.
So this is wild. This is wild. I'm sure it shook them up. This is a shaker of a sermon that he's given. You see, blessed, according to Jesus, is countercultural. Blessing, according to Jesus Christ, is what? Countercultural. Let me explain why. Because, here's why. Because the world's view of happiness or contentment, they would tell you what? There has to be a
absence of misery. There has to be an absence of problems. Correct? Nobody would say, I'm blessed if they're living in misery. That's the world's view. But you see, go to the next one. A believer in Jesus Christ is totally countercultural, correct? Because the true believer knows that true happiness comes when? When? In the midst of your trouble. In the midst of when things are hard for you. Because it's not an external condition. It is a what? Internal condition. Jesus is totally blowing them out of the water. Totally. All the qualities that actually make up the blessed life include, in the words of Jesus Christ, pain. Includes pain, correct? Did you not read the Beatitudes with me? Blessed are those who are persecuted. Blessed are those who mourn. See, you're blessed. They include pain. They include misery. They include trouble. That is why this sermon to those people was totally countercultural. Wow. I guess after looking at this sermon, I would say this is something they never, ever heard before. Would you agree?
Amen.
Never. They never heard such things as this in their whole life. You see, the tree of happiness that grows in the cursed earth is nothing like the happiness that God offers us in Christ Jesus. Actually, the world can't offer it to you. Correct? The world could not even offer this to you.
Amen.
Why? Because it is supernatural. It comes from the divine nature of God. Wow. You see, the world tells us, well, I'm blessed based on what I have, correct? I am blessed on what I do. And Jesus totally blew him out of the water and said, no, no, you are wrong. Blessed from the kingdom of God's perspective is who you are. It is not what you have, or for some of you who think it's what you do, it has nothing to do with it. And they were totally blown out of the water, like we should be. Totally mind-boggling. Blessed is who a man is, not what he does, not what he does, not what he has. According to Jesus, it's who you are. Wow. Number two is, and I really want to say that this whole thing is countercultural. How do you find it? How do you find this happiness? Wow. It's totally opposite than anything you would ever think of. Correct? You say, Pastor, I love that. I want to be blessed. How do I do it? What Jesus is going to tell them is totally against everything they've ever learned in their whole life. But I think about it. That crowd who was there, you think some Pharisees were there? Think Pharisees showed up? I think so. To a Pharisee, what was happiness? Legalism. I'm a legalist. I love my tradition in Jewish history. No way. How many think the Sadducees might be there?
What did a Sadducee think happiness was? A Sadducee thought, I want to be liberated from the old traditional laws. I want to be liberated from this philosophy. And if I can do that, then I will be happy. The Essenes were there, you think? Yes. What was the Essenes' view of happiness? Very simple. Run away. Get as far away from this world as you possibly can. And if you can run from it and find a place where you can hide, you will be happy. I mean, you know, he must have blown those people totally out of the water. The zealots. You think the zealots were in that crowd? Now, what did a zealot think would make him happy? Is what? A zealot. The zealot would think, what? I'm going to be happy if I could kill the Romans. I'll be happy if we have our own government in Israel. And Jesus looks at him and says, you are all messed up. Because he's saying that to all of them. Correct? But did they all have a view of what it meant to be happy? Oh, yeah. How about you? Do you have a view of what it means to be blessed? And does it line up with this word? Or is it something you have in your head? But you're not living it anyways. Wow. His words are definitely revolutionary. And actually, he's introducing them to principles of his kingdom in that first sermon. Would you not agree? Oh, I love this first sermon. Why? Because he's saying to them, if you want to live in my kingdom, this is how you are going to live. And they are in total shock. Because that world is inward. Correct? The kingdom of God is not outside of you. The kingdom of God is in you. It's a reflection of your spiritual life. Is it not? It's a reflection of your what? Your spiritual life. For sure. Wow. Ah. We do get shaped by the world, don't we? I will confess. We do, even if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. I mean, you know, some of us are still affected by this world. Because tell me what the world is selling you every time you pick up that magazine. Every time you watch your TV, right? Every time you get on those video games. How many know you're being sold? Y'all, you're being sold happiness and joy and fulfillment and content. But it adds up to what? Zero. You don't have it. But we're affected by it. Yes, I believe that for sure. The world's media literally sells us a world perspective that is not Jesus Christ at all. And if you're living in it, you'll know it. You'll say, I come on church and I hear what the Bible says, but I listen to my TV and radio all day. What's wrong with me? That's right. You're getting brainwashed. I love it when people say, Pastor, you're brainwashed. I go, thank God I am. I'd rather be brainwashed on the word of God than on the philosophy you're picking up that you're living in this world with. Amen?
Amen.
Because that world will tear you up. It'll corrupt your thinking. And all God's people said, what? Sometimes we go and we're having a good day and we listen to all this world stuff and all of a sudden our thinking gets all messed up. Have you experienced that? Come on now. I know you have if you're living in this world. You see, but the word teaches in Romans 12, 1 and 2, do not any longer be conformed. Do no longer be conformed to the pattern of this world. But you are to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And all God's people said. Think about the turmoil that a person goes through, comes to church once in a while, reads a little of the Bible, and then gets inundated by the world. And then they wonder why I don't have any contentment. Why don't I have this blissfulness? Because you're being torn. Because Jesus is countercultural. Because Jesus doesn't say the same thing this world says. That's why you're in turmoil. That's why the people who heard that first preaching were in turmoil. Wow. Ah, his words are powerful for sure. And we have to understand that Jesus was saying something totally different than even these disciples ever heard in their whole life. Do you understand? Oh my goodness. Imagine Jesus gets to the Beatitudes. Blessed are you. Can you imagine? Blessed are you. Blessed are you if you are what? Ooh. Blessed are you if you're hungry. Blessed are you if you're suffering. Blessed are you if you're in turmoil. Blessed are you if you're a peacemaker. You got to be kidding me. They never, ever heard any of this, ever. Who would ever say that? Have you even heard it? Oh, hey, Jamal, man, you're going through some tough time. But Jamal, you're blessed. Oh, you're a peacemaker. They're killing you. You're trying to bring peace to your family. Oh, blessed are you. What are you, crazy? Right? What are you, crazy? I'm getting killed. I'm standing up for Christ and I'm being beaten up. Oh, you're blessed. And people say, oh, no, I'm not. I'm being killed. Correct? Do you understand the turmoil going on here? Do you understand the turmoil? This is major turmoil. Nobody's ever told them this. Maybe some of you never even heard this before. Maybe you think your blessed life is something else. Jesus says, this is your blessed life. Correct? Wow. You see, I want you to see this. Because the path to blessedness and the pattern of blessedness, both that you would receive it, correct? And not only you would receive it, but you would live it day by day by day, is all given to you in the most incredible words you've ever heard in your whole life, and they are called the Beatitudes. Do you all know the Beatitudes? The way I learned them was, let this be your attitude. And I was like, yes, Lord. Because right now, these are not my attitude. Let these. What do you think? Turmoil? I think so. Wow. Nobody would write anything like this. Nobody would ever say anything like this. It's something, isn't it? You see, and I love this, because not only did he say, imagine if a person says, well, I got God as my source. Would that be okay? Are you there yet? Some of you there? God's your source for your blessedness. Can you accept that? Could you accept that? Anybody? Could you accept it? God is the source for your blessing? Could you accept that you're the recipient? That God is full. And you are what? According to 2 Peter, you are the what? Can you accept that? Can you? Jim, could you accept this? But what if I said to you, could you accept the pathway? I got the first two down. But this pathway thing, and not for me. No, it is for you. You need to be living this every single day of your life. Correct? I want to say these Beatitudes are the way you are supposed to be living if you're living on the pathway. All God's people said. It's a shocker. Bankruptcy? And you would all say what? Yes, Pastor. Humility? You would all say
yes.
Yes, Pastor. Correct? Or yes, Jesus. You're not talking to me anyways. You'd be saying yes, Jesus. Humility. I give up. Yes, Jesus. Correct? If you're on the pathway that Jesus told you to stay on. Whoo, or how many of you say, wait a minute. Bankruptcy? No. Peacemaker? No. Misery? No. I don't want any of this Jesus stuff. You can choose that way if you like. But believe me, you will not be happy. And all God's people said. I'm telling you, they must have been in shock. But listen, let's go to, wait, go back one. I want to go over this because he's giving it to, go back to the next one, the unlikely. He's offering it to what? To the unlikely. He's offering it to people who are what? Bankrupt in their spirit. He's offering it to people who are humble. He's offering it to people who are poor. He's offering it to people who are sad. He's offering it to people who are hungry. He's offering it to people who are thirsty, who are merciful, who are pure, who are peacemakers, who are persecuted. He's offering it to people nobody else wants. Pretty much. But he's very clear. If you want to be blessed, then this is the road you better be on. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. But number three, I want to say this. I just got this time in reading this. I don't think I've ever gotten this point before. I mean, I read scripture a lot. So how many of you read scripture and you say, oh, I read it, I got it. And then you go back and you read it again and you go, gee, I never saw that. Man, look at that. Well, I want to give you one of those moments. Here's the moment. See if you can grasp this. This sermon is not for the crowd. Did you grab that the first time you read it? This sermon that Jesus gave is not for who? It's not for the crowd. Oh, the crowd might make it their gospel, but they don't get it at all. How many people say, hey, we got a social gospel. We got the Beatitudes. We got the social gospel. You have no gospel. You have no gospel. Because the Beatitudes is not a social gospel. Amen? And who is he talking to? Why do I say that? Read your Bible. In verse 1, the crowd is there, yes? They're there. Jesus said, let's go up to the mountain, right? He sits down. Who comes to him? And when the disciples come to him, can you imagine the crowd? They all come to him, right? There's probably thousands. They come. But when Jesus has got to teach him for the very first time, what's he do? Come on away with me. This message I'm giving is not for the thousands. This message is for you. Because you are a disciple. Did you get that the first time you read it or not? Woo! I was like, holy crow, I thought that was for everybody. It's not. It's for a disciple. Why? Don't forget, this is the first time you're hearing Jesus preach. I believe that Jesus' disciples needed to know how to live the blessed life. Not the crowd. They weren't there yet. But the disciples did. Would you agree? They needed to know. They're following Christ. They have to know. They have to know this. Would you not agree? You're my disciples. You better get this down. You need to do this because this is the road you're going to be on. Can you get it? Oh, the crowd was there. I kind of believe they were probably at an earshot away. Not hearing very much. Or maybe pieces. But those disciples, what are they doing? They're grabbing on to every word that Jesus Christ is telling them. Every word. Is it hard? Is it hard? Is it deep? Will it take study? Will you better examine it? Will it take an internal work inside of you where you go, gee, there's something in this. Blessed are the poor in spirit. I don't even know what that means. You don't. That's right. But if you are a disciple, what will you do? You'll go into that word and you'll say, Jesus Christ, reveal to me something about this brokenness that I have no idea about because I'm trying to live. I'm all good. But you're telling me, blessed are those who are broken. Teach me brokenness then. Correct or no? And who would he say this to? The crowd? Don't think so. Don't think so. Crowd probably didn't even want to hear any of that. A disciple? You see, the word blessed here is also an indicative word that speaks of a person's character. Did you get that? It speaks of what? Not just inward, not just your spiritual life. It actually speaks of what? The depth of your character. Correct? Oh, yes, Lord. I don't know. If a person were to say, I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. I'm a disciple. What should come with that? If I were to say to you today, hey, guys, I just want you to know, I don't know where you're at. I don't know if you're in the crowd. I don't even know if you're a Christian or not. I'm a disciple of Christ. What would you know about me? Just what I just told you, not all the others. My last statement to you. You would believe what? That there's a character work that God has to do in me if I'm a, and if Dan says, Pastor, I'm a disciple too, I can guarantee what? There's a character work that God's got to do in you. Otherwise, you can't do the Beatitudes. Because all the Beatitudes are what? Your character. Absolutely. Yeah. Take a deep breath. We need to take a deep breath. You see, each of the 9 Beatitudes are deep. Did you read them? Each of them are weighty statements. Would you not agree? Each of the Beatitudes actually says to you, you must be dependent on Jesus Christ to get these Beatitudes. Like, you're not even going to get what they mean if you're not dependent on him. But a disciple says what? I want to be dependent on him.
Amen.
Big difference here. Wow. Living the depth of each beatitude. If you say, Pastor, I'm going to live out the first one. Blessed are the... I'm going to live that out this week. How many of you wouldn't even say that? I'm living out that one. That's good. Then I would say to you, God's got to do a heart work in you. It's a heart work. It's not outside you. And some people go like this. Go inside and deal with me. And then what do people say? Oh, no, I'm not ready for that kind of stuff. Can't you just deal with the outside of me? Can you imagine Jesus looking at you and saying, no, I can't do it that way. It doesn't work this way. I'm speaking into your spirit man, your character man. And I will do it on the inside of you so that one day you'll live that out on the outside. But it will not go the other way. And so many people today say, don't come near me on this stuff. I don't want to go near you. I say to you, be a man or a woman. I actually believe that a man who wants to follow Christ would say this. See if you got along with me. Lord, teach me to be the man you want me to be. Or if a woman said she's a disciple, would not that woman say this? Lord, I want to be one of your disciples. Teach me what you want me to be, because you made me for you. Teach me, God, that, because I don't get it yet.
Would you not say that would be like foundational? How many of you have ever done this, by the way? How many of you looked at your life and go, hey, I'm not even near any of this? That's okay. But I believe if you were in that group, Christ would say to you, but this is the work I want to do in you. Amen? You might not be there yet, but I'm not changing my words on this stuff. This is the road you need to live on. How many of you would have that kind of courage? Or how many of you are still on the run because you don't want God to look too close at you? You might not like what you're going to see. And you're probably thinking God wouldn't like it either. But I say to you, be the disciple. Ask God to help you be the man or the woman you need to be for him. Amen?
Amen.
Because you are living in his kingdom. These are what we call kingdom principles. This is a manifesto of Jesus Christ. Let's say this together. The Beatitudes is a manifesto of Jesus Christ for people who want to live in, answer it, for people who want to live in his kingdom. You all got that? His kingdom. Woo! I don't know about you, but I want to live in that kingdom. I want to be able to say, Lord, I'm not that man. Poor in spirit. What does that have to do with? God, help me. I'm so far from this. I submit my life to you, Lord. But I want to walk a blessed life. Do your work in me. That's a what? That's a disciple. You don't have to be perfect, but you do have to be willing. Wow. I believe that every person who follows Jesus Christ, think about this. You need to at least know three things. At least you need to know three. Here they are. One, if you want, you need to know what is the attitude of Jesus Christ. How many are good with this? You need to know what? You need to know what is the attitude of. How many get messed up in your attitude and his attitude? You don't need to know your attitude. It's already rotten. Right? What do you need to know? I was saying that to God the other day. I was saying, God, I said, why in the world? Can I confess this to you? Are you guys okay? Don't tell anybody. I did this the other day. I was like, my wife here? I did this the other day. You know, pastors are human too. So I'm going to confess my sin. I was looking at this person. I said, God, they are so stingy. They never give. And then I said, Lord, why in the world would you ever bless them? Think that's okay? You would say, Pastor, you're all messed up, right? See, because I'm going by what? My attitude. But what's God's attitude? God is a blessed God. What's he going to do? He's going to bless. How many of you got this? He will bless even when you don't want to bless. You got that or not? Why? Because it's his nature. You might say, oh, I'm going to hold on to it. But that's not God's nature, amen? What's his nature? I'm going to bless because I am a God of blessing. I will forgive. You might not want to, but I will. You see, the standards aren't ours, correct? The standards are his.
Amen.
And so he is the source, correct? You are the recipient of the divine life of Christ. And then you, by the power of God and by the grace of God, live these Beatitudes out, because that is the road he puts us on. What do you think of this first sermon? You think the people were blown away? He's going to talk about go to the temple, you know, read the law. You're fine. You got a good family. How many of those people were totally blown away by this sermon? Well, I want to encourage you today. Let me just ask this question. Where would you be in that sermon? How many of you would be in the crowd? You're sort of following them, but you're not there yet. Or how many of you would say, oh, I see what Jesus said. Hey, you disciples, come here. I want to teach you something. And you'd be going like this. Can I come? Can I come? And guess what? You'd be totally invited. And then there's a third person there who says, I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. Teach me your ways. Where would you be in that? That's a good question for all of us. Wow. I'd like to say I'd be one of those disciples, but sometimes I question it. But you know what? As I'm reading this sermon, did Jesus have an altar call? On this sermon, on Matthew 5, his longest sermon. Did he have an altar call on this? I don't see one, do you? How many think it deserves one? How many of you were there saying, hey, he's calling me to something here. This isn't just talking some nice stuff to Nate. No, Nate, you need to make a decision, my friend. I would love to sit here and tell you, no, we're not going to do that today. But you know what? When Jesus preached that, I believe he was asking the people to make a decision. Do you? Like, you can't hear this and say, oh, I'm all set. Isn't this a nice sermon Jesus gave? He talked about happiness. Oh, it's my heart content. I want to be happy too. No. No. He's calling you. It's quite the sermon, amen? Something you can't ignore. I suppose if I was in group two, I might have said, how many of you are in group two? Like, you sort of heard, but you know you need to get closer. I think I was in group two for a while. But eventually, you know what happened? Like, I was in group two, and I was like, man, group two. I want to come. And then, I want you to hear what I have to say. I heard. And I said, well, I want you to see that you can do none of this. Right? Can you imagine the Lord talking to me like this? Some of you can, because he talks with you the same way. You cannot do any of this. And I go, oh my gosh, Lord, I give up. I can't even do the Beatitudes without you. Lord, help me live that life so that I know it and I'm obedient to it. But it does take a decision. Amen. I have one last question for you. Because I asked myself this one this week. Seriously, do you, Steve, want to be the man God wants you to be? Do you want to be the woman God wants you to be? Do you really want to be that? Do you or not? I don't know. I can't force you, and I'm not here to force anybody. But I want to say to you in the heart, because these Beatitudes are a spiritual issue. They are a heart issue that go to the very core of what's inside of you. You will hear what I'm saying to you, and some of you today will hunger and thirst for it. And some of you will hear it and say, I'm just fine. I want to go home and watch my TV. You see? Why? The work is where? Inside. Have you answered the question? Have you answered the question? Like, what do you want to do? Have you answered it? Have you? I know you have, right? You know you want to be the man. Yes. That God wants you to be. Yes. Not the man that the world wants. Because that's going to add up to nothing. Yes. But this man who walks these Beatitudes out. Wow. So in closing this morning, can we come up? I just want to close out this morning and